You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's Chris's Monday.
Now, welcome back, Christy Simone. Whoa. Morning.
What's going on, sir?
Jeez, welcome back from the Wake Up Tucson compound.
Correct.
Oh, restocking true. For the November election. Here we go, baby.
I did disappear up to a friend's mountain refuge up in the White Mountains.
Excellent.
That's where I went.
And Good for you.
It's literally, the time goes slow because it's not one of those over, this is the same thing I did a month ago, not the over-program vacay where you're running from this to that to whatever.
Yeah.
This is sit on the porch with a book for 2 hours and watch the rain.
Oh, nice. Right. Cool rain, green things. Vacations are good.
Yeah. You know, we went to Fool's Hollow Lake up there a little bit. That was fun. It's a state park. Off the east side of west side of Sholo there, and so we did a little. That was very fun. But I will tell you that most of the time, like I was telling Ed, one of the highlights of vacay was Tuesday. It's 12:30. I'm cooking carne asada and jalapeno peppers on the barbecue.
Yum.
I may or may not have a beer in my hand, and it starts raining on me while I'm cooking the carne asada at 12:30, and the temperature dropped to like 65. I'm like, there you go, kids.
That's it. You must be here.
You know, and it's kind of, you know, we've never really had this discussion. Now that I'm spending more time up there, I'm trying to figure out places to eat. So I have like a handful of places. Pickings feel a little slim up there.
Yeah.
My daughter said she was in the mood for Chinese takeout kind of thing, right? Which is, of course, tough. And so our friends who own this place, who've been there, I call them up. I text the wife and I said, hey, what do you think about? She goes, I wouldn't eat anything up there for Chinese.
So yeah.
That's what my Jedi senses are telling me. I just wanted confirmation. But there's a few good places. We might talk about that. That'd be a good thing because there's lots of people who do go up the Pine Top
and
listen to the show. Yeah. That'll be the food discussion at 7 o'clock. We're going to talk about best places in the White Mountains to grub.
All right.
We'll do that. And we'll do a couple other things. I'll tell you about some of my culinary adventures. The White Mountains food experience coming up at 7 o'clock. We have Dr. Oh, my God, this name.
Salvatore.
Oh, my Lord Jesus.
Salvatore
Giorgiani.
Giorgiani. What the heck?
He's a drug expert.
Well,
so.
Heck.
Well, if that.
What does that mean?
That idiot Fauci can be an infectious disease expert.
Yeah, where'd that come from? I finally just realized this guy came from nowhere. I mean, come on.
Actually, Van Buren will be here doing best movies of different decades. So we're doing the best movies of the 1950s.
Yay.
Coming up at 7:15-ish. Actually, he can jump in. He goes up to the White Mountains on a regular basis. He can maybe jump in on the grub discussion.
Mm.
Drew Sexton.
Hey.
Drew Sexton.
Okay.
He is he's basically the GOP campaign director for the NRCC coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going to preview some races. And then Brendan Lyons, he's part of that Zach Yenser Young Professional Group. He is running for state legislature at 8:30. So we'll see Brendan at 8:30. First of all, I got to thank the crew that pinch hit for me.
Yeah.
While I was away, we had Matt and Sean on Monday. We had
Bruce and
Shelley on Tuesday, on Wednesday. We had Shelley and Sean and Bruce and Matt filling in for me, and sounds like they did a nice job.
Very nice. We had a lot of great guests. Things kept rolling. They're very nice. So
Bruce gave you some love on Facebook too, in relation to being the kind of keeping it all together.
Oh wow, thank you, Bruce.
So
everybody did a very good job. I believe we kept things rolling. There's a lot of information out there. So yay! I know. And now it's Friday, so that's a good thing.
It's true.
Had enough of this week, huh?
The other thing we're going to talk about today, just because I'm kind of living it a little bit, is These colleges
back to school
have these.
They're making up stuff.
They have challenges.
They're making up stuff again.
Yep.
Well, everybody. Yep. There's no roadmap, so you have to make up stuff. But it's pretty weird to watch people get a lot of money, kind of hem and haw and trip over themselves and go, "Well, we'll just let it up to the other people to do this."
Well, there's the whole K through 12 thing.
Yeah.
Right. We have the whole K through 12 thing.
Hire more teachers. Hey, well, okay, let's have some more teachers. The teachers will like that. And have smaller classrooms, and let's just get back to school. Oh, is that too simple?
Well, my favorite, we'll get to a New York Times article that there's some teachers union back east. That's probably the New York one that says they don't want to, they have concerns about teaching in person, and online.
Jesus. Yeah. Come on. So we don't really want to work. We do want a raise. Thank you.
So let's have this conversation now. So these universities, they're in a little bit of a pickle. Okay. Because they need money.
Yeah. They've got big buildings. They take up, whole towns, these universities. They need some money, honey.
Right.
And if ain't nobody in those buildings, then, heck, we could have a lot of dorms and places for businesses to go. Or, of course, businesses are going offline. So what do we do with those buildings?
I will tell you that...
There you go.
I had to do this post because of what I'm experiencing in the state university world right now.
The Arizona State Universities.
And so I took a picture of Dean Wormer. Remember Dean Wormer from Animal House?
Yes.
And so this is where it gets fun, right? So a year ago, if you and I said, well, why can't my kid just take this the classes that you're offering online and pay the same or pay less.
Yeah, a little bit less, yeah.
Right. So instead of paying the U of A $12,000 a year, maybe I pay $5,000 to $6,000 a year because I'm not using your buildings.
I'm not using any of the infrastructure, right? Yeah.
You can actually have more plan. You can have more students per professor, that kind of thing, right? So, of course, the institutional answer across the country is, Mr. Caveman, you can't say that. Our professors are so wonderful, and the in-class experience is such a journey of academia and mind-opening, and their personal stories and their energy, all this. So they would literally tell you a year ago that the in-school experience was 10 times more superior, and your kid just needed to be in class, and no way could you equivocate the two, right? Now
you have to be in Norman, Oklahoma. This is a hot spot. You have to be.
Right.
You can't learn if you're not.
So think about this. So here at U of A, right? I could just see them. They're saying, look at our wonderful professors. We have some of these been working here for 30 years. They teach once every 2 weeks. That's the kind of professor that, is making $90,000 a year plus bennies. This is the magical experience. This is the magical experience that's going to make your children's lives better and whatever, right? Here's the best part. Now, it's 1 year later. We're in the world of...
COVID.
Let's do this. Let's go to break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you how the tune has changed 12 months later. And Lawrence is on the phone about his tuition bill, which is hilarious. And I have something to share because my daughter went through her tuition bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's for going to NAU, right? And
sat down with her and showed her, right?
Oh, I didn't have to. She's a smart cookie. Okay. She went through it and she wrote down. She's disgusted at half of the fees that are most of the fees that are on there. So we'll talk about the fees also, but wait till you see what happens 12 months later after I just sold you that bill of goods about their magical professors.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Come on, I'm trying. Hey, kids, a reminder, as we talk about back to school, Tucson business owners support teachers. The Teachers for Treasures for Teachers school supply campaign is going on right now, asking for you if you can, to help out with paper, pencils, erasers, markers, even disinfecting wipes, sanitizers, stuff like that for the teachers to use in their classroom, because they don't always get all that stuff from the school district. Imagine that. So if you can, this weekend when you're out and about with your mask on, go and drop off some school supplies at any of the Sparkle Cleaners 15 locations in town. We thanks to them, too. Hey, there's a Garlic Festival. They're doing it again this weekend. It got a little rainy last time, so they're going to do it again this weekend, too. So
that's amazing.
Take a ride down to Dragoon.
Did they call in already? Are they calling in? Oh, okay, I gotcha. So Garlic Festival again.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Isn't that good?
That means they had a bumper crop of humanity, hopefully.
Well, it there was a lot of rain and stuff like that, so they said, hey, we still got some garlic. Let's do it again. So there you go.
Umpire John, you'll be lucky to see a real professor, most likely a lecturer or a instructor. Now, we're talking about college, right? We're talking about a year ago, these professors, administrators, deans would say, oh, you can't compare the in-school to the online. It's two different worlds,
wow.
Right? But now,
experience.
But now, a year later, where they need every dime humanly possible, they're gonna. A lot of these colleges are going to go all online. And trust me, I've seen the emails. I get them. That mm-hmm. says, and be rest assured, the student's educational experience will not be changed. It'll be just as high of a standard now, all online, as it would be in person.
Your child will get the utmost experience of college education.
So this is as we like to say, there's no atheists in foxholes, right?
Mm.
All right. All of a sudden, but when the chips are down and things get crazy, all of a sudden they contradict themselves from 12 months ago because they need every dime flowing. And all these, look at NAU, right? Flagstaff and Tucson, this is going to be the real, this is where the rubber meets the road for Tucson.
Okay.
Is the amount of students that aren't going to be here. What does that look like economically for this town? How many places survive?
It's already dead right now.
Right?
So dead.
So that 4th Avenue, you know, downtown area, main gate, will, because it's closer, will survive better. It's just that still that walk away. There's still going to be a good amount of students. But again, remember, these decisions to when do you open a school, in-person, FLEC, whatever they call these things, right? It's about the money, but the person who makes the final call on this, I know you guys are going to fall off your chair while you're eating your Cheerios, are the lawyers. In the end, this is a liability thing. In the end, Rita up at NAU or the Crow Daddy or Rockin' Robin are going to say to the general counsel and how many other lawyers they have, and they'll go, well, if you do this and one kid gets the COVID and blah, 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 then we could get sued. And blah, blah, blah. So this is why the legislature not being in business right now. And I know they had state President Fan from the Senate, right. President. She's the one who doesn't want to have a Senate.
It's July. What are you doing? You're not coming back until January?
I don't know what she told you guys when she was here, but I don't know why she doesn't have a – we're not back in session.
They talk about all the stuff they need to do, but didn't talk about doing it.
I mean, she's one of the ones that a lot of people think Doug wants her not to have a Senate session. So let's go to Lawrence. He's going to tell us.
He'll make us feel better.
He's got a daughter going to the U of A. Tell me about that tuition bill, big fella.
Holy crap.
Tell us, Dad, what's up?
God, this reads like a freaking property tax bill. Look at this. I remember we paid our when I was in school, we had our tuition and we had our recreation center fee, right?
Right.
So let's see. Recreation center bond fee, $25.
Oh, so hold on. I'm writing this crap down. Rec bond fee, $25, because right. they had to bond the rec center? That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Then we have recreation center fee program, like $431. Student media fee, $3.
Hold the heck on. $4.31 or $431?
$4.31.
Okay, I was like, holy moly. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And then there's a freshman fee. A fee to be a freshman, $10. Are you kidding me?
Freshman fee. Know? I don't know if I have that one on my NAU bill. What else you got?
Okay. Athletic fee, $50. We all knew about that, but what athletics are going to be going on for $50?
Nothing. Now, you're paying for Kozachik's new spandex pants.
Oh, my God. Now I'm going to throw up.
Thank you.
Never say that to me.
Sorry, bro.
Not at 6 in the morning.
What's your next one?
Health and recreation fee, $212.50.
$200.
So there's there's a recreation fee, but now there's a health and recreation fee.
Yeah. What the heck?
What's your next one?
Info and technology fee, $267.50.
Is that for Wi-Fi?
God, I don't know.
How much is that?
$267.50.
We haven't gotten a tuition here yet.
I know. This is not part of tuition. This is not part of education yet.
I'm going up. Yeah, now we get to tuition. Tuition, $56.49.50.
Okay. So that's about right for...
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Now they have a fee for iCourse. I think that's for the summer, $50. Now, you know...
But did she go to summer school?
Yeah, she's doing a course right now. Okay. Yeah, this French, freshman academy or whatever, something like that. Yeah, Arizona. Okay. Now,
so is that the only extra fees?
No, there's a tuition community campus fee of $100. What the heck is that for?
Hold on, tuition community. I don't even know what that means. Community campus fee of $100.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and then then they have student support fee.
Oh, well, there you go. But they get a lot of support. They get a lot of support at the university.
Support fee.
And then,
who are you going to call? I don't know.
Yeah. Ghostbusters.
And then I have two Arizona Financial Aid Trust fee. I guess every time you take a class, they charge you $56, $53.
What?
They don't just put that in the fee. It's just they have added on fee per class.
Yeah.
Just so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No. Where's the board erosions fees? Where's theirs?
Oh, it's somewhere in here. I can't decide.
So the ones that I have on my that's a little different is you're gonna love this. So they have a transportation fee, right? Because NAU has an on. So there's an extra transportation fee at NAU.
So that would be equivalent to the recreation bond program fee and everything else.
If you remember Rothschild when they first built the streetcar was pushing on Ann Weaver Hart at the time to instill a transportation fee on every kid at the U of A to pay for the dog-like streetcar. Because he's like, well, they're going to use it, so let's have the tuition payers pay for a city boondoggle.
Bull.
That so the U of A, Ann Weaver actually said that I don't think we're doing that, kid. So my other one is, now maybe NAU is just a little more advanced than the U of A. We have a green fee.
Oh, yeah.
For green initiatives.
Well, yeah, but that's because you have the pine trees there to remind you.
Yes.
Well, I can't believe the U of A doesn't have a green fee. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it might be in here, you know, disguised as something else. You never know.
My favorite ones on yours is you have that rec bond fee is great. Okay.
You can't use a rec room.
But then you have a rec fee and a health and rec fee.
Right.
And then you have whatever that $267 fee was again. And I think my favorite one
is info technology library fee.
Oh, that's right. And then my other one was your tuition community campus fee.
Yeah.
No. Can anyone tell me what the? I don't know if Rockin' Robin. That'd be great if Rockin' Robin's. I bet he couldn't explain that one. He's so far above the fray. I can just see him like, I don't know.
I don't know what that is. Probably send an email. And then we'll talk about the courses,
I'm just saying,
right?
if I drive down 6th Street past the rec center and they're all in there on their bicycles and stuff like that, I'm going to make some hell, man, because I can't get into mine.
Well, exactly. Nobody can get in. You know, people are telling me they're gaining 15 pounds from being at home, from the lockdown and stay at home, but yet they can't open it up. But here we are paying a bond fee, and I remember that bond. Remember when they passed that bond for it? The bond fee, they did the improvements.
Hey, you got about 20 seconds before I got to go.
All right. So anyway, she had her classes. Four of them now have gone to strictly online. She had a hybrid before. Now another one. The one class that has not been assigned yet online is freshman English. So we're waiting for that big bad boy to go online next.
Well,
but they have a graduate student teaching it. So what the heck?
Thanks for sharing the pain.
Sorry.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah,
have a great day.
You too, buddy.
Don't even ask me about me being a teacher. Not today.
Next week. This is my Monday and my Friday. All right. Lawrence, have a good weekend, buddy.
Thanks. You too.
Christy Bye-bye. Simone at Alexander. You're on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We got to go right to the phones, especially with this name of this is so Goomba. I love it, but I gotta embarrass them like I do with everyone. They're
his bio.
Oh yeah, the bio. Yes, senior science advisor to the Men's Health Network, past chair emeritus of the American Public Health Association, former alumni board member of the Columbia University School of Public Health.
Well,
wow. The hell is he doing calling Tucson?
You know,
let's go to the phones. Dr. Salvatore Giorgiani.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show.
How are you? Where are you calling us from today on this fine morning?
I'm calling you from lovely Melbourne, Florida, the largest known spaceport city in the galaxy.
Ooh.
Getting ready for a little old hurricane.
I used to have neighbors that lived in Melbourne who lived next to us in New York, and then when they retired, they moved to Melbourne, Florida. So I am actually familiar with that village in Florida.
Nice.
They always said it was a decent place to live, so congratulations, Dr. Sal. Now, let's talk about we've learned a lot about America and a lot of things about America, and one of the things we're going to talk about with you today is we love our pharma. A lot of it's very important in what's going on in the world. Talk about America's vulnerabilities, pharma-wise, that we kind of learned during this whole COVID thing that's going on.
Well, it's a terrible problem that we're just understanding the magnitude of the problem now. And luckily, we're starting to see some remedies. But for the past 25, 30 years, we've had problems with getting medications prepared or made in the United States. They've been going offshore to places like China, India, some of the former Soviet republics, even into Latin America. And the problem is, these are places where you wouldn't even be drinking the tap water, let alone wanting to have medications that you depend your life on or your mental health on. And this has all been driven by pricing and pricing issues. We see a large number of medicines that are coming out that are either tainted. Anybody who takes Valsartan or Metformin or any of the antacid medications you get all over the counter, you've seen warnings about them containing impurities that could cause cancer or are rather dangerous. We've seen problems with hand sanitizer. We're constantly seeing issues of drugs to treat cancer that are diluted or contain nothing but just sterile, colored sterile water, making it into the shores here. And that's a big, big dilemma.
So we know that you have, we're a global economy. There's a free market here that's going on, right? And that's why a lot of these decisions, the offshore stuff, is happening. So, but of course, pharmaceuticals can be considered a very critical supply, of course, to the United States. You know, the president of the United States has control over how steel and different things are done because old times of war efforts. How do we get a hold of this where we allow the free market to keep doing what it's supposed to do, but we're not getting, crap medicines from Estonia or something?
Well, part of the problem is the Byzantine and sort of mysterious system that we have for reimbursement or paying for pharmaceutical products and medical services in general. But
how about what's the FDA's role in this? Because they're no saint in any of this, are they?
Well, I admire FDA. They do a very, very good job of what they do. They work very, very hard. They're dedicated public servants, but they are beholden to a congressional budget. But I think FDA has also, amazingly to many of us who follow the industry, come to say that part of the problems with the security, safety, and purity of the American drug supply is because of the downward pressures on costs and prices, the Byzantine reimbursement systems that have led to this all going offshore to become commodities like batteries. There have been some steps taken. I think the administration's executive order to help clean up, if you will, the reimbursement levels where prescription drug prices are controlled by just a few large companies. That'll help a lot. And I also think that the amazing deal that was struck with Kodak to help create the intermediaries, the chemical components that go into making the tablets and capsules and injections, will also help a tremendous amount to relieve some of the problems that we found with this offshoring. But in the meantime, it's going to take an awful lot to bring medications back into the United States, including better management of drug pricing.
So I guess the question is, right? So what does all that look like, Dr. Sal? Right? What does that look like, what you're saying, right? Should we be producing more in America would be one of your hopes, or is there more of a quality, isn't this a quality control thing of what's coming into our borders from other countries?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. FDA can, as a U.S. government entity, inspect in places where we have treaties that allow them to inspect. So a good example is the European Union, where many of the plants, in fact, the majority of the plants in the European Union that are also under the EU's version of the FDA are adequately inspected and deal in quality intermediary products that come in. And they test those regularly, so there are very few problems with countries in the EU manufacturing. But when you get to China, India, there are no existing relationships, so FDA can't really do a lot of plant inspection. They certify the process, and then it's up to the people in those countries to certify that they're adhering to the process and the quality of the medication. So part of it is bringing it in not just to the United States, but other areas where we know that there is safe, high-quality manufacturing, and pharmaceutical industries are moving to do that.
What can we do, Dr. Sal, to make it more cost-effective for U.S. pharmaceutical companies to at least make it, at least here or in Mexico, for God's sakes? There's a reason why it's more expensive. It seems to be way more expensive to produce pharmaceuticals within the 50 states of America than it is from a basement in Estonia. So what's going on? What's those dynamics?
A lot of it is the regulation. The cost of regulation drives an awful lot of the quality control costs that get built into a particular drug product. So that is just going to be as it is. Just as Americans, the reality, though, Chris, I will say, is just as Americans have to understand that until the cost of research and development for these products is borne by the rest of the world who benefit from these products, Americans will, just as we do in defense, Americans will have to bear a larger burden of the cost for development. And that also drives it. This is a very, very complex problem.
So, but when you say burdensome regulations, aren't we coming back to the FDA?
Yes, we're coming back to the FDA, and we are also seeing, because of the COVID crisis, that there are many things that can be done at FDA to streamline the torturous process that can be done without compromising safety and quality. We're learning about that. My understanding is pharmaceutical industry executives and scientists have been trying to persuade the FDA that is an important thing to do to streamline the process, to help reduce the cost burdens. And now, because of the crisis and the administration's working with the FDA, that has started to happen. So that's it's a terrible situation, but it's a good secondary effect of what we're seeing with the COVID crisis.
So the FDA really locked down on R&D on pharmaceuticals when the Obama administration came in the midst of Obamacare and all that stuff, which made it really wasn't that a big, because there's a local clinic that was just on because they're doing COVID trials here in Tucson, right? Who basically had to stop that portion of their business for like 4 or 5 years. Because the FDA made it so hard that everyone was basically if it wasn't one of these psychotropic drugs or something like that, anything that was for practical use was kind of stopped for 4 or 5 years. So guess what happened? Everyone went to Estonia, China, and India to do their stuff. So
right.
what I'm confused about, Dr. Sal, you're gonna have, you were praising the FDA at the beginning, but then it seems like the FDA regulations and how they handle are part of the problem of making producing this so expensive. So now you got to help out this dummy named Chris who doesn't know as much as you. Figure that out.
Well, that's very astute, and you're right. I mean, they do a lot of things good, and they do a lot of things well, and they do a lot of things with tremendous integrity, but they do suffer from that in the beltway disease of a regulatory accretion. So over the decades, it's gone more and more difficult to get medications done. So yes, they do, and I do have a lot of admiration for them. But there are, like any institution, many things that they can do better. And up until this crisis, there hasn't been much of an impetus to change the regulatory process at FDA. The last time I can remember it was done was under, if anybody remembers, Vice President Dan Quayle, who was given the task of reforming FDA way back in the Stone Age, I think, or it seems. And that was the last time there was a top-to-bottom review of FDA's regulatory processes. And that was also driven by the fact that some of the requirements for drug development and approval were slowing down so that we were only getting 3, 4, or 5 new medications in a year. So that was the last time I'm aware of that there was a very large revamp of the bureaucratic process at FDA.
So what we can agree on is that as we saw this amazing baby boomer push into old age, right, in this amazing age population, we haven't, something that's so important to that population being pharma is that we haven't done anything with that regulation process since Different Strokes was on the air, basically, is what we're talking about.
that's a very good way to say it, yes. That's very true. There's been little marginal incremental changes, not all for the better. But I think we're seeing a resurgence of interest in making sure that all aspects of everything that's important to national security and the health of Americans is looked at top to bottom.
Dr. Sal, what's the last thing you'd like the listeners of Wake Up Tucson to get from our conversation today? In 2 to 3 sentences, what do they need? What's the summary here?
You can request medications from a U.S. EU standard type manufacturers. You just it's something people just don't know. So a practical tip for most plans, you are allowed under your generic term to request a specific type of medication. So if you do a little homework, ask your local pharmacist for medications that are made by companies that comply to these high-level standards, you can do that. And the other is there's lots of great information on the Men's Health Network website, which is at www.menshealthnetwork.org. And you can find lots of information about all of this and some practical information about caring for yourself as guys.
All right, Dr. Sal Giorgiani, thanks for a good conversation. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. Have a great day.
Batting down the hatches in Florida. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah. We're good.
All right. Go to Home Depot, get your wood, start banging up those windows. All right, 6:47 in the morning. Christy Simone at Alexander. You're on the Wake Up Tucson Show. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, we got to get going here. But before I get going, remember, Tucson Treasures for Teachers. We're supporting teachers. Go to any Sparkle Cleaners. In town, there's 15 locations. Go to sparklecleaners.com to find out their locations and drop off school supplies, the basics. They need literally sandwich bags, pencils, pens, paper, rulers. This is even for kids who are going online. They need to work crap out on there. And this is something the teachers have asked Adrian at Treasures for Teachers to do. So this is a joint operation with Treasures for Teachers and Tucson business owners.
Yay.
To get teach. So I need Sparkles Cleaners. Go to drop off pencils, pens, whatever you can to those, and they'll get them to Adrian, and she'll get them directly to the teachers who will get them to the kids who really need them. So there's this lady named Brandy Cruz. She's a reporter in Seattle at a TV station, and she does this little opinion thing. I can't believe that God bless her general manager and news director for letting her even do this. And when you listen to what she says about how certain reporters in Seattle are not covering all of this crap, right? All of the violence.
The Portland stuff.
Right? All of this stuff. And the silence of local officials, or more importantly, them encouraging it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sound familiar?
And she talks about how they won't report certain things. And then in her conversation, she goes, I know they might not talk to you again, but you have a duty so we're going to play. Let's get the Brandy Cruz Seattle TV reporter. Go.
I'm going to start off the top here, spending some time breaking down what's happening in the city of Seattle. We've got to. It's too important to ignore. And apparently, reporters here don't think they have an obligation to point out things going on that don't make a bit of sense. I don't know if they're worried about being canceled on the internet.
Stellar.
Or kind of worried about that. Dylan. I don't know if it's because they're worried it'll sound like their opinion. But I've got news for my colleagues in the press. Not pointing out obvious moral and logical inconsistencies and shortcomings on the part of elected leaders does make it seem like you have an opinion, a strong opinion, and that you're intentionally looking the other way when things just plain don't make sense because you have an agenda. And I'm not perfect at all. Far from it.
Ferguson.
I have fallen short of my journalistic duty before.
Total agendas.
But we as a press corps can do better. We have to do better. And besides, if you're worried about getting canceled on the internet, we didn't become journalists to worry what people think about us or to worry about ruffling a few feathers.
Thank you.
So, where to begin? I think we should begin a week ago today, Sunday in Seattle, a riot. A group of criminal demonstrators went methodically around town in a coordinated effort to wreak havoc. They vandalized the city courthouse, two police precincts, and targeted specific private businesses to make political point. And they assaulted police officers. There is no question about that. It's on tape.
There's some explosions.
SPD says 12 officers were injured.
That was coming from the protesters.
One was hospitalized, according to Harborview Medical Center, and treated for burns to his neck. And what did Seattle leaders say about it? Not a thing. Not a thing until Monday, when Councilwoman Lisa Herbold brought it up during a meeting.
Please continue your demonstrations. We need your voices to propel necessary change in policing. But I plead with you to please do so peacefully.
But why did Councilwoman Herbold feel compelled to call for peace in Seattle?
All right, so there's she's tweeted this, so it only gives her so many minutes. So we're going to go down. There's three to four of these things. So we're going to go to the end, which is kind of the wrap-up piece from the reporter in Seattle. Let's go back to her last piece, about a minute.
And look, I know some council members might never do another interview with me for pointing all of this out, but how can they really expect to be so blatantly inconsistent and illogical without being called on it? Well, I'll tell you how they can expect that. Because the media doesn't call them on it. Again, it's not an opinion for the press to point out obvious logical and moral inconsistencies or shortcomings from elected leaders. It is our responsibility. It is our duty to you. If not us, then who? But lucky for my friends in the media, it's never too late to start. And don't worry, Seattle leaders will give you plenty of opportunities. And the best part is, they don't even try to hide it.
Sounds like you, Mr. DeSimone. Sounds a lot like you.
So let's go back again. I want you to play that one more time. It's so short. So this is dedicated to Timmy Stellar, right? Fergalicious, who's not there anymore, Constable, Dylan Smith, all these people who say they're reporters in this town who really care about it, and they keep throwing that they're big old-time reporters, right? Yeah. Leo Sayers, who's young, he doesn't know many better, but he should know better. They should be forced to listen to this 50 seconds of Ms. Cruz.
Nitzel,
that's true.
He's been doing that for 40 years.
So this is dedicated to Tim Stellar, Jim Nitzel, and Dylan Smith. Let's do it again.
And look, I know some council members might never do another interview with me for pointing all of this out, but how can they really expect to be so blatantly inconsistent and illogical?
Or Sharon Bronson may not give a contribution donation to the Tucson Sentinel again if you actually did good reporting, Dylan, because she's consistently shows up on his thanks to our donors thing.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Without being called on it. Well, I'll tell you how they can expect that. Because the media doesn't call them on it. Again, it's not an opinion for the press to point out obvious logical and moral inconsistencies or shortcomings from elected leaders. It is our responsibility. It is our duty to you. If not us, then who? But lucky for my friends in the media, it's never too late to start. And don't worry, Seattle leaders will give you plenty of opportunities. And the best part is, they don't even try to hide it.
So there's so much stuff there we got to cover. But in the end, Mayor, she's talking about the media just never calls them out on things. He says there's obvious logical and moral inconsistencies coming from these people on a daily basis. It's your responsibility as the media to report these things and call them out. Then she says, if not us, then who? And it reminds me of a question when Sarah Gasson came on the show last year, and she said, do you think you're a reporter? I said, I'm not a reporter. I only have to act like one when you guys keep failing your jobs. And this is why when they write the postmortem on Tucson, the media, the Dylan Smiths, the Jim Nensels, and the Tim Stellers of the world are going to be right on the top of why Tucson cracked. And that's where we're at. So God bless her for saying that. And again, it'd be like a Clockwork Orange thing. You would love to force these people to watch that, or at least listen to it 1 minute a day for 14 days and see if any of it actually drills into their head.
Changes their actions, yes.
Because it won't. I thought birthdays today were crap for holidays on the music side. Nothing too great, you know.
J.K. Rowling.
Okay.
And Mark Cuban, but that's not on the music side.
Right.
Zach Brown. That's about it, you know.
So great. Good holiday.
Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Okay. Jerry's one of Jerry's real kids. Jerry's kid. Gary Lewis. You know what I mean?
Here we go. National Avocado Day.
Okay.
National Cotton Candy Day. National Get Gnarly Day. But more importantly, it's National Mutt Day for those dogs that are unknown origins.